So my name is Pastor Lee. I am a pastor and I am from Minnesota. All right. I got some Minnesota people here with me. But our session here is about stereotypes, prejudice, discrimination, and all that good stuff. Stuff that we are afraid to talk about. But in my experience, if you listen, if you show respect, and you listen to understand, whether you agree or not, if you listen to understand, then you can have a good conversation. I have people who are believers. I have people, friends who are not believers. I have atheist friends. I have people who believe in other religion. Right? And we may not agree, but I've always done it in a way that is respectful, in a way that I can understand where they're coming from. Because the better I understand where they're coming from, then the better I know how to engage in conversation with them about the gospel, right? So that's what I do as an evangelist and as a missionary. But we're going to talk about stereotypes. And the question I have up here is, can you tell by looking at someone if they are a Christian? You can't. Right? You can't. And so here is my experience of Christians. Right? My story is, I was born in Thailand in a refugee camp after the Vietnam War, right, in the 60s and 70s. And so our family, I came to the United States when I was 3 years old, and our family was sponsored by a Christian family, not Lutheran, but by a Christian family, in La Crosse, Wisconsin. All right. Any Wisconsinites here? All right. Wisconsin, give me some noise. Okay. Green Bay. Nothing. And so I was sponsored by them and our family. And so I remember as a young child being picked up and taken to church, right? They took us to church back and forth. Okay? And then they helped my dad get his first job. Right? It was like $1.50 an hour at that time. Right? So my first experience through my lens, through what I knew, was that Christians were white. Okay. So that was my experience. All the way up until 9th or 10th grade, every Christian that I encountered where I lived, okay, was white. So my limited knowledge was, okay, I associated Christian with white. And then I met my first African-American family that was Christian. I said, oh, it's not just white people. And then later on in life, I met my wife, and she's Asian, and she's a Christian. Right? And then my whole worldview of perception, you know, just changed. But it was based on my experience and through looking through my lens. And then when I married my wife, I was not a believer. She married a heathen like me. I don't know why. But God brought us together, and then at age 23, I was baptized. Right? And then here I am now as a pastor. Right? But I've been on the other side of the track, in a sense, right? I've been on the other side of not believing, and now I am a believer. And so when we look at stereotypes, I can see things even through my own lens, my own experience, on how I see the world. Based on what I see, based on what other people see, based on what I see in media, and so forth. So here today, I'm going to be talking, but I'm going to also be asking you guys some questions, and you have permission to speak freely, because these are hard, touchy subjects. I could talk about politics and religion with anybody without fighting with them, right? And so us as believers, we should be able to do that with other people, all for the sake of the gospel, not for our own political views, not for our own religious view, but all for the sake of the gospel. So permission to speak freely without judgment. And I want us to have fun, right? I want us to have fun with this. And so as we begin, you know, we have to understand what is stereotype? What is prejudice? What is discrimination? And so defining stereotypes here says, you know, oversimplified or generalized belief about a group of people that ignores individual differences. Now here in America, we like to be individuals. In other parts of the country, it's more communal. But here in America, our society is more individual. So we like to have that individualism. We want to think for ourselves. We want to do things for ourselves. Sometimes we don't like to be told what to do, right? As teenagers, I didn't want to be told what to do. Okay? And my mom and dad tell me stuff, like, I don't want to hear it. Okay? And so we don't like to be told what to do. And so when we talk about stereotype, I'm not saying stereotype is necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes, for one, people say Asians eat rice. Most of us do, right? Most of us do eat rice. Maybe one or two, some might not, but most of us do. Mm-hmm. And so we generalize that, but the point about stereotyping is that then you take away the individual person out of that. Mm-hmm. And then when you go into prejudice or discrimination, then now you take the stereotype and then you put a stumbling stone or you put roadblocks into that individual from progressing forward in the thing that they do as an individual. Mm-hmm. And then from there, mm-hmm. we talk about contemporary manifestation, right? Because we see things through our own lens. We see our personal bias, misrepresentation, social exclusion, all those different things. So by clearly and naming and recognizing these injustices, we prepare ourselves to consider how the radical love and truth of the gospel calls us to higher standards. Our journey begins not with blame, but with understanding, so we can move forward in truth and grace of the gospel. And so where does this really come from? Biblically, where does this come from? Right? You think about where does prejudice and discrimination, all these things come from. Well, it comes straight from at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, at the fall in the garden. That was when the blame game started. Who did Eve blame? Yell it out. The serpent. Who did Adam blame? Eve and God. Right? He says, I'm blaming her, but it's the woman you gave me. Okay. And so the blame game started. And from there, Cain killed his brother Abel, right? And so sin started from the garden, and ever since then, we're all a part of it. Whether we know it or not, or whether we like it or not, we are all a part of it. Right? And scripture tells us that we were born sinful, because if we're born sinful, then how do we look at it and how do we deal with it? Right. So what are some of the stereotypes? What are some of the stereotypes? It says Asians, right? They're good at math. Okay. I was in one of my professor's class, and it was a literature class, and my professor went around the room and he says, talk about different stereotypes. And he came to me and he says, okay, what is a stereotype for you? I said, people often say Asians are good at math. And then he goes, are you good at math? I said, yeah. I said, maybe that was a bad example, right? But if you were to ask my wife, she'd be like, I am not good at math, right? She says, I am not good at math. Every time we go shopping, she always says, this is 60% off. How much is it? I'm like, you got to figure it out. You got a calculator, right? But that's different. Mm. Or my wife always says, I cannot eat spicy food, right? A lot of Asians can eat spicy food, but I can't eat spicy food. Right. She says, that's the part of Asian I'm not. Right? So there's all these stereotypes that we have, and they all look alike. Right. People say all Asians look alike. But me being an Asian, I can tell different Asians from different Asians. Right? I can tell someone who's Japanese, who's Korean, who's Chinese, and so forth. Right? But if you're not familiarized, you may say, all Asians look alike. Well, they're quiet and they're obedient. Right. And that might happen because of their upbringing, of their culture. Right. Or you can say Mexicans, right? They work construction and landscape, right? They're illegals, undocumented. These are stereotypes. They have large families. Or African American, black, they're good at sports, love hip hop. Right. Love fried chicken. I mean, who doesn't love fried chicken? We all love fried chicken, right? But these are just some of the stereotypes that goes around. Whites, okay. Loves country music. Is that true? You guys all love country music? Right. You can't dance. You can't eat spicy food. I have a pastor friend. He's white, okay? Pastor Joshua Miller, and you know him. He grew up in this area, and he loves spicy food. He can actually eat spicier food than I can every time we go out and eat, right? And every time we go out to eat, he would always tell the waiter or the waitress, says, "Make it spicy." And they all says, "Are you sure?" Right? And they say, "What level?" He says, "Level 5." And they're like, "Are you sure?" And when he gets his food, they tone it down, right? Just because he's white. And so oftentimes when we go out to eat, I have to order his food and tell them I want 5, right? So that he'll get what he wants. And so these are the stereotypes that happens. Or when we talk about, religion, Middle Eastern, sometimes they're terrorists or they're Muslims. But when we look at scripture, where did Jesus come from? Where did our faith come from? What region of the world? We can say atheists are immoral, but I've got some atheist friends, who are one of some of the nicest people in the world. Or Christians, they're colonizers. They go and colonize different parts of the world. But these are stereotypes. Or some of the discrimination, even for men, right? Says, "Hey, stop crying, man up." Right? "Man up, guys." Or some say they're clueless dads. Don't ask a dad what bus number their kid is on. They won't know. Ask the mom. They're predators. Or for women, discrimination. Because we're not getting a certain job. Stop being emotional. It's all in your head. Or maybe it's your race, your ethnicity. You don't get something. You don't get rental. You don't get a job just because based on where your background is. Or even your discrimination, even against income. Right. Now, those people who are on the other side of the tracks, in a certain neighborhood. And so the question, and I want you guys to speak freely, because we need to get comfortable here, is the state or the city you're from, and you have permission to speak freely. And what is the stereotype that goes along with the state or the city that where you're from? I'll start with this side of the room first. Speak up loud so everybody can hear you guys, okay? All right, who wants to go first? Maryland, all right. Terrible drivers. That's what they say about Asians. Terrible drivers.
We're from Stockton, Missouri. A lot of people probably think that we're all dumb rednecks.
Dumb rednecks. Is that Southern Missouri or Northern?
Southwest, yeah.
Southwest, okay. Because I heard that in Southern Missouri, they say it's Missouri. Oh, no, I started a fight. I started a fight. Missouri. Okay. See, that's my perception. Because I talk to certain people, but you say it's not true. All right. I'm learning here. Right. That's the whole point of this conversation. What else? Y'all from Chicago, right? What do they say about Chicago? Bad drivers and what else? And pretty loud. Yeah, horrible city, according to most people, right? Outside Detroit. Back there.
Well, there's a bunch of farmers and most of us are pretty stupid.
Bunch of farmers and most are pretty stupid, huh? I camped in Ohio once on a bison farm. $25 for the night. It was fun. Yeah. Yes.
Little Rock, Arkansas, and we're known for gang violence, first.
Little Rock, Arkansas, known for gang violence. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm from Irvine, California. We're known for bad Asian drivers.
Bad Asian driving Tesla. Yeah, I grew up in California, And when I got to Minnesota, it's pretty cold there. And people would say, what are you doing here? Like, why did you leave California weather for Minnesota? And I told them, I said, I got tired of laying on the beach and just surfing all day, right? That's what I said, right? You know, because people, you know, think about California and say, oh, you're just on the beach, you know. But I actually grew up in a small town, agricultural, you know, where we grew everything, right? You know, a bunch of farmers. I wasn't even anywhere near the beach. Thank you. Going on everywhere. Where's this? Nebraska. And so when we talk about stereotypes, discrimination, prejudice, all those different things, I know that here in America, our country, we have a lot of history. You know, often you talk about blacks and whites, right? But when we look at the world, right? When we look at the world, it's across everywhere. When we look at scripture, it's everywhere. And so when some of the example is, if you look at the Hindu religion, right? You know, Hinduism, there is what is called a caste system. It's more of a social order. And they believe in reincarnation. And so if you're born into this social order, it determines where you are in the social order of life and how people look at you. And oftentimes you can't even marry somebody outside of your social order. And so at the very top there, you might not be able to read it there, but you got the priests, you got the aristocrats. Under that, you got the rulers, the administrators, the warriors, the third from the top. I can't read it. You got the farmers, the merchants, and the tradesmen, and then the orange there, and you got the laborers. And then at the very bottom, you got the street cleaners. And you got all those other minimal tasks. And as I was looking at this, and talking about, you know, scripture and all the different things, there was a region in the New Testament and even the Old Testament, we're talking about how the Jews would walk towards Jerusalem, but then they got to a certain part and they would rather walk around it, even though it was shorter to walk through it. What town was that? Samaria. Right. You'd rather take the longer route then go through and mingle with these half-breeds. These people who were your people, but throughout the diaspora, when everybody was scattered, they started marrying other people. And then now they weren't pure anymore. Right. And so it's just not in our time. It's all throughout history. Right. And so people in this caste system, they would do that too. Right. Not so much today. It's still there, but not so much today. But in the past, people would walk around certain villages. You don't go through that villages. It's as if people in that village were lepers. You avoid them. You don't touch them. You don't go near them. Or what about in let's say in Asian countries? My ethnicity is Hmong, right? Spelled H-M-O-N-G. The H is silent, right? My ethnicity is Hmong. My people, we don't have a country, but there's not a country that's Hmong, right? We are a minority group that is from southern China. And because we're from southern China, we're not Chinese. So there are certain things that we don't get. But over the years, we've migrated down to Vietnam, into Laos, and today in modern day Thailand. And there are Hmong people who live in Thailand that had to change their names to a Thai name so that they can get a job, so that they can work. And as you know, your family name is important, right? Because many of us, if you go far enough, many of us are from different tribes, right? or different clans. And so your last name means that you're from this tribe. My last name is Lee, and so I'm from the Lee tribe or the Lee clan. And so your last name means a lot to you. But in this instance, they had to give up their last name, on paper anyways, just so that they can get a job. Right. And so there is discrimination even within, this, you would say, the group of Asians. Right. And that reminds me of, even in our own American history, where the Europeans discriminated against other Europeans. Right. It says, if you are of this descent, don't bother applying for a job here. Right. Very blamed. Right. That's a part of our sinful nature. Right? And so we have to call it out for what it is. Right? If you're talking about land countries, right? South America, you know, people, you know, many of us are not just them, but all of us, right? We're very prideful of where we're from. And so if you were to talk to people in Latin America, you know, they say, well, no, I'm from Ecuador, right? You know, don't call me a Mexican, right? And in this country, we also we often refer to Mexicans because, you know, they're right next to us. They're our neighbors. But, you know, I've got friends who says, no, don't call me Mexican, right? I'm Puerto Rican. Yeah. And so you have that in us. And then we think about, for you guys, even as teenagers, you know, when you go to school, right, you might have different cliques. Right. You might have different groups. Right. You might have one group that looks kind of down on another group. But for us as believers, you know, we got to look at everything from the point of the gospel. Like, how do we identify that? And then how do we work above that and around that? And, you know, Martin Luther talks about in the Small Catechism that every morning we have to drown the old Adam. And so if we recognize these things, right, then we have to drown these things so that we can live out the life that God has called us to live in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so what are some stereotypes about teens? Because this is the National Youth Gathering, right? So this is your time to speak up, right? This is your time to talk to us, the adults, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the stereotype is all you guys do is you're stuck on your phones. Now, I see adults do it too, right? Sometimes I'll have, as a pastor, I'll have parents come up to me and say, Pastor Lee, all my kids, all they do is just their faces in their electronics all day long. And my response to them is, well, who gave it to them? Right? Who gave it to them? Right? Most of the time, your kids didn't buy it on their own. Yeah, you gave it to them. Right? And so there's got to be a way that you have to work with this. Right? We can't get away from electronics. We know that. Right? But how do we deal with that in our everyday lives? Or adults might say, you guys, you know, don't have any feelings, right? Mm. How was school today? Let me ask you guys this. How was school today? Good. Fine. Boring. Right. You guys got no feelings, right? That's all the answer you have. Instead, I tell parents, instead, ask your kids, what was good about school today, right? What was exciting? Okay. Who's your best teacher? What did they teach you today? Right. Ask questions that will get your kids talking. Because I know you guys have feelings. I know you guys are smart. Okay. Yeah. I know you guys have a lot of things going on in life, and sometimes it's hard. Right. And so tell me, time for you guys to tell us. Okay. What are the stereotypes that we as adults have on you guys? Okay, mental health, right? That you're just making excuses. Mm-hmm. Being introverted, that you hate people. Okay. Say that again. Are awful drivers. The teenagers don't care about their future. How many of you guys care about your future? How many of you don't care? No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hand. That's a lot of truth. Right. And that's a lot of stereotype that we have for our young people. So for us as adults, you know, we take it in, right? No judgment, right? We take it in and we process that this is how our young people feel. Right? Whether it's true or not, this is how they feel. Right? And so how do we process all these things? Because these are our stereotypes that we go through. So when we go through these things in life, we also have to look at it from a biblical standpoint. Right? And earlier I said, my people, the Hmong people, we don't have a country. And so if I didn't have my citizenship here in the U.S., where would I have my citizenship, right? Because, I mean, if you're Chinese, then you have, you know, you're a citizenship in China, right? If you're Thai, then your citizenship is in Thai. I was born in a refugee camp in Thailand, but the Thai government won't recognize me. My parents came from the neighboring country, which is Laos, but because I was born outside of the country in a refugee camp, the Laotian government won't recognize me. So when I came to the U.S., I came as a refugee with no citizenship tied to anywhere, but I was adopted into this country. So when we look at the world of where our value is, then we see it through that lens. But when we see it through from a biblical standpoint, that we know that we're all made in the image of God. And knowing that I'm made in the image of God, then I also know that, and you also know that, where your true citizenship is. And scripture says our citizenship is in heaven. Right? That's where it belongs. And so Romans 2 and Acts 10 talks about a Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and Peter, who has this vision of what's clean and unclean. Now, Cornelius is told by the angel, says, you are to leave here and go find this guy named Peter. And at the same time, Peter is having this vision from God about animals and what's clean and what's not clean and what they can eat and not eat. And then God says, you can eat all these animals. And Peter said, no, but we can't. It's unclean. And then God says, no, what I have said is clean. It's now clean. And that prepared Peter from meeting the Roman centurion Cornelius, who is outside of their group, who is a foreigner in a sense, who does not belong to them, to accept him as a child of God. And so when we look at this, there are a lot of things that we do that are uncomfortable. Right? And you've heard the term, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because a lot of these things that we talk about is uncomfortable. But the sooner we talk about it, the sooner we can tackle these things. And we can be honest with one another based on our own experience. And it says, we should seek justice and righteousness. You know, in Micah chapter 6, we look at that. And Micah, the prophet, was telling the people of God, it says, you are walking away from God. You are doing things that is not righteous. And God wants you to turn back. And what did the people say? They said, what more does God want from me? Should we sacrifice 10,000 more rams? I mean, what more does God want? And you could think about that even in your own life, right? We go to church every Sunday, mom and dad. We pray before we eat. We read the Bible. What more do you want me to do? How much more do you want me to do in this life of faith? And this is what Micah tells them. He says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love, mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. He says, I don't require all these different things from you. He says, I want you to love, to have mercy, to walk humbly with God. And then in Isaiah chapter 1, it goes on to say, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's case. And so we as believers are called to act justly and defend the oppressed. But the first word that I saw there that I noticed, it says to learn. There are two things that I see in that verse. One says to learn, and one says to take care of the fatherless and the widows. If you were to go to different countries, especially, and when you read the Bible, right, in biblical times, it was like this too. If you read the Old Testament, if a husband was to pass away, oftentimes they will make her marry one of the brothers. Like, ew, sick, right? I'm not marrying my brother's wife, right? But why did they do that? The woman was considered helpless. She didn't have someone to speak for her. The child, you would lose your land. You lose all that you have. That was the society. It may not necessarily be like that now in America, in a sense, right? You know, people still, single parents still suffer, right? You still struggle in a sense. But when we look at what goes on there in biblical times, and then even today in different parts of the world, that still happens. And so it says, learn is the first word. If we're talking about justice and helping other people, why does it tell us to learn? Do we not automatically know how to love and how to be nice and how to help? I mean, we are Christians, aren't we? This is a national youth gathering, a bunch of Christian Lutherans come together. We're going to do a bunch of service projects. Shouldn't we just do all these things automatically? Why do we have to learn? Why is that? What do you think? I've as an example, in the Twin Cities, in St. Paul, Minneapolis, and around that area, you know, there's a lot of homeless camps, right? And so we've gone out to homeless camps and we've, you know, given them stuff and then we talk to them about Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that we often think about homeless people is what? What's the stereotype? Why are they homeless? Don't have a job, right? What else? Drug addict, gamblers. All this is true. All these things are true. There are some who do have, you know, mental challenges. There are those who are going through addiction. But there are many who are in between jobs and couldn't pay their rent. So now they're living in their car or they're living on the street. I met a gentleman where he lost his business. Right? I mean, he's like a small business owner, entrepreneur. Right? He said, I lost my business. I lost everything. And I had nowhere to go. And so here I am. And he said, eventually I'll rebuild again. But to me, this is temporary. Right? And so there are many different reasons why people are out there. Right? And we do it because we know that if we can help some of them, obviously we can't help everybody, right? We try our best. But if we can help them out of this situation, then they won't go and do different things that would end up putting them into the jail system. Right? So we help people in halfway houses, but we're trying to do things so that they don't get to the halfway houses. They don't get to jail. It's a never-ending circle. But if we can help them here, then they won't end up over here. But our stereotype and the way that we see things, you know, we have perception. There are things that we know, but when we go talk to the individual, then every one of them has got their own different stories. Mm-hmm. And then your compassion comes out because it's no longer generalization. Your compassion comes out because now you're talking to the individual and that individual has a story. And we do that all within the context of the gospel. And so that's what we do when we say we learn, right? A part of that is also because we are sinners, right? And unless we recognize that we are sinners, which we do every Sunday, we ask for forgiveness. But unless we recognize that we are sinners and our sinful nature is to go against God, is to go against some of these things that we're called to do, then we're not going to do them. That's why we always have what we call intentional ministry. Like we're intentionally doing these things. We're not just thinking about, but we're intentionally doing it. We're focusing on one subject and we do that. Now, we look at the example of Jesus, and Jesus encounters the marginalized. He's the model for us as compassion and inclusion, right? He met the Samaritan woman. And he went there. He talked to her. He told her everything that he knew about her life. And she was so surprised that she went back into town and told everybody about this Messiah. And told him about Jesus. You know, as a missionary, as an evangelist, you know, I get excited about this story of the Samaritan woman because she was an outcast in her own society. But when she met Jesus, she went and told everybody, right, of what she experienced with Jesus. And for us, he said, let us go. Let's go tell everybody about our experience with Jesus. Because Jesus went to those that was outcast, those that people didn't want to have any part of. And so you get comfortable with being uncomfortable, and that has to be done intentionally. And he welcomed sinners. Says he came for me. That Jesus came for you. And if we see it through that lens, that we know that Jesus is always coming for somebody. He's always coming for us, or not us, but also for those who are outside of our circle. We got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to skip some of this stuff. I got a lot of materials. But they only gave 1 hour, and then I got to give you guys time for questions and a survey, right? When we talk about the early church had unity with diversity. You know, in Acts, in Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, people were from all different walks of life and different language, and everybody came. And fine, that day, 5,000 people was baptized. I would love to see that today. Yeah. I'd love to be a part of it. We're 5,000 being baptized in one day. And for us, when we talk about stereotyping, you know, we were here listening to you guys talk, right? We're here listening to you guys talk. I love AI now because I can just ask it to do anything and it'll give me a picture, right? If the ears aren't big enough, I said, make the ears bigger. So these are our AI pictures. We have 2 ears and 1 mouth. And for us, as we're compassionate towards other people, you know, Listen twice as much. Because you can learn a lot if you just ask good questions and listen to where people are coming from. Because the question is always, you know, do we listen so that we can rebuttal, or do we listen so that we can understand? Sometimes people like to argue with people, so we can't wait until they finish talking, or we'll just cut them off, right? But in the context of being compassionate towards outsiders, then we have to listen. Intentionally listening. We have the urge to want to talk, right? But we have to intentionally listen. And so we have to overcome our eternalized bias, right? Because the way that we see things is through our own lens. Scripture says, you know, we have to renew our spirit, and we have to renew our mind. That the old creation, you, the old creation is gone in your baptism. The new creation has come out. So every day we have to talk about our new creation, that we are this new person in Christ. And we see through, you know, every one of us, we see things through our own lens. I told you earlier how I saw my through my lens as a young person who was not a believer, you know, thought that Christians was white. That was through my lens until I learned and until I grew. Yeah. And so how do we change that? We change that by listening. And for us, we cultivate discipleship. We're not just discipling each other inside the church, but we are seeking those who are lost and bringing them to Jesus. And we do that by the breaking of bread, do that by hospitality. You know, I moved around when I was younger, and every 2-3 years I went to a new high school. high school, a new school. And throughout my elementary and high school, you know, we moved around a lot. And every time I got to a new school, I didn't know anybody. So I felt alone. I just sat there because I believe it or not, I was a shy kid. I was a shy kid, and I just sat there to see if anybody would come up and want to be my friend. I was an outsider every 2-3 years. And I think every one of you know how that feels in one way or another. And so remember how that feels so that you go and seek those who are lonely, who are in crisis, so you can share God. Right? You know, be peacemakers. When you're a peacemaker, people are attracted to you. Know that we are all in this together, no matter where we're from, no matter what city, what state we're in. I saw on the Facebook page that we've got people from how many other countries are here? 9, right? Yeah, so it's not just a national youth gathering. Now it's starting to be an international youth gathering. Imagine 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now, I mean, how big this thing's going to be if it starts to become international. And so what makes us valuable is that we're made in the image of God, right? We know that. You hear that every Sunday. I'm here to remind you of that. And don't panic just because you've heard all these things. You say, well, I might be some of these people who are stereotyping, who might have some prejudice, right? We're sinners. It's there, okay? But we search our hearts. You know, scripture and Proverbs tells us to pray, to tell God to search our heart, tell us to renew our hearts and our mind so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. Mm-hmm. Give a voice. And so take this back. Might take this back to your church and see how you can live this out. And let me skip to this. Okay. So how do we see the gospel in a way that it's going to be good for our community? I like to use this example of the cross eye, right? That we see everybody through the cross. There might be someone that I may not like so much, right? And internally, you know, I don't want to go near them. But then when I remind myself that, yeah, Jesus died for them too, then I have to look at them in a whole different light. But I have to intentionally remind myself that, no, Jesus died for them too. So go over there and make things better. Right? Go over there and talk to them. Right? Because this might be the moment that they get to hear Jesus and they will be saved. So it's uncomfortable, but when we see things through the cross, right, through the eyes of Jesus, then everything becomes a lot easier. So don't forget to take this back home and think about it. You're going to learn a lot of different things. But I want to pray for you guys before you guys head out of here, okay? Let's pray. Lord, and Father, we thank you for your blessing this day. We thank you for the national youth gathering, all those who have put it together. We know that there'll be many, many more sessions to come. But even if we just take one or two things back home, that we are here to be fed by your word. We're here to just be encouraged, to encourage one another, and that we may share the good news to those among us, those who don't know you. And may your kingdom grow. May your honor and your grace be upon us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who gives us your spirit, who gives us his life. May we lead a life according to your good and gracious will. Bless us this day, Lord, and the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.